You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all. Spooky season is here. And if you're looking for a show to whet your appetite for a little haunted history, then I'd like to invite you to check out Southern Gothic, a chart-topping history podcast that explores some of the most infamous legends, folklore, ghost stories, and hauntings of the American South. We've covered all sorts of stuff from the Bell Witch of Tennessee to the disappearance of the Confederate submarine, the H.L. Hunley, not to mention our deep dives into the local lore of some of America's oldest and most haunted cities, like New Orleans, Charleston, and St. Augustine. So, if you're ready for a little good old-fashioned Halloween storytelling with a commitment to quality historical research, then be sure to check out Southern Gothic today. It's available now on all your favorite podcast apps.
Monster House presents.
Monster Talk is proud to be a part of the Airwave Media family, home of such shows as The Daily Meditation Podcast, The Accidental Creative, and I Know What Scares You. If you'd like to advertise on this show, contact sales at advertisecast.com.
It's actually quite unlike anything we've ever seen before.
A giant, hairy creature, part ape, part man.
In Loch Ness, a 24-mile-long bottomless lake in the highlands of Scotland, it's a creature known as the Loch Ness Monster.
Monster Talk.
Welcome to Monster Talk, the science show about monsters. I'm Blake Smith.
And I'm Karen Stolzner.
Hey there, Monster Talkers. I'm having some health issues today, so I'm going to be super brief. Today's episode is a legend-tripping episode featuring Matt and Karen, who have just come back from a trip to Devil's Tower, and we're going to have a listen to how that went and talk about some of the lore behind that place.
Monster Talk.
Sometimes we cover what I like to call monster-adjacent topics, from haunted houses to saucer crashes to allegedly mysterious places like the Bermuda Triangle or Baleskin House or to cities that claim to be the most haunted in the world. And today, we're going to take a look at a towering example of such a place, a geological remnant made famous by both Hollywood and conspiracy theory. We're talking, of course, of the Devil's Tower in Wyoming. And we'll be talking with our Monster Talk on the scene correspondents, Karen Stolzner and Matt Baxter. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Yep. And yep, as you said, joining us is Matt. Welcome to the show again.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So you verified this is not a legend. There really is a Devil's Tower.
Yeah, without the apostrophe, though.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's an interesting story. So, Devil's Tower, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are familiar with this place for reasons that we shall get into shortly. But it's a butte in the Black Hills, so in northwestern Wyoming, and it's one of America's most famous landmarks and the place that seems to attract about 500,000 tourists every year. And so, Matt has wanted to go there since he was a little boy.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It's been one of those bucket list kind of things. You know, ever since I saw Close Encounters as a kid, I've wanted to go to Devil's Tower. It just, it seems so unreal, you know.
And it means something.
Yeah, yeah, this is important.
nice quotes. And so, yeah, we went there recently just over the Easter weekend because it was Matt's birthday. And again, he's always wanted to go there. And I was telling a couple of people about the trip and they said, well, try to have a good time anyway.
Ow.
So I guess they're not.
They really put the Y in Wyoming, I
yeah.
guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the Devil's Tower and the whole apostrophe thing, as I was mentioning, it does have a number of different indigenous names. It's known as Bear Lodge, Bear's House, Home of the Bear, Bear's Lair, and Bear Teepee. So nowhere in there is there Devil's Tower. So as the story goes, the name originated back in the 1870s. There was an expedition led by Colonel Richard Irving Dodge. And apparently his interpreter, misinterpreted a native name to mean Bad God's Tower. So that translated to Devil's Tower in American English.
Oh.
So that's how we get the name. And then it was established in 1906 as the first U.S. National Monument by Theodore Roosevelt. And when they did all the paperwork, it was sans the apostrophe. So it's Devil's Tower without the apostrophe, which is kind of interesting.
So it's more than one devil.
Yes.
Plural. Devil's plural tower. Mm. Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, as you said, it is not directly relevant to monsters, but boy, has this story got a lot. It's got UFOs and it's got ghosts and it's got science, history. So it's pretty jam-packed, full of interesting stuff.
I know that I had heard a legend about the tower, and I think it was in a documentary on PBS or something, and it was about maidens being chased by something. But you've got another variant of the story here. You want to tell that native legend?
Yeah, so Bear Lodge or Devil's Tower, by any name, it's a sacred space. So there are a number of different indigenous sacred narratives about Devil's Tower, and one of the ones that you'll hear most often is a Sioux legend about two boys who wandered too far away from their village and became lost. So we've got that whole kind of cautionary tale thing going here. And so they're trying to find their way home and they realize they were being followed by a giant bear. And they were scared and they ran. And then realizing that they couldn't run any faster or any longer, they fell to their knees and prayed to the Great Spirit to save them. And so as the story goes, the earth shook and the boys were lifted into the sky by this giant pillar of rock, which became Bear Lodge. And so they were safe from the bear, and the bear is rearing up on his hind legs and clawing into the stone to try to get to the boys, but without any success. And eventually the bear just gives up and wanders away. And a giant eagle rescued the boys and delivered them back safely to their village. So that's just one legend. There are many others out there. There's an Arapaho legend. The Cheyenne people have a story. The Kiowa people, Lakota people, they've all got different stories. And usually it is a kind of cautionary tale where a group of young boys or young girls are away from home, away from the village, and get into trouble and are chased by this bear that keeps cropping up in all the stories.
Well, because I have no idea, having never been there and only seeing it on movies and stuff, like, is it far away from civilization? What's the trip there like? Can you talk about just the experience of going there?
Well, you're definitely out in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, Wyoming has a lot of really beautiful scenery and everything as you're driving through. And it's interesting because you see these kind of like, you know, little buttes sticking up and you're like, wow, that's not nearly as impressive as I was expecting it to be. And then as you go along, you see it, you get that first glimpse of it off in the distance and it's just electrifying. It really brings this real sense of wonder because it's just so out of place with
so
everything
unique.
Else around it. But yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, like everybody else says, get a full tank of gas before you know, at the last gas station you can. So.
Yeah, but lots of buffalo and lots of antelope and tourists.
I mean, I'm making an assumption that like you're not allowed to climb it or anything. Is it like, what is the park sort of set up there? What can you do? What can you not do when you go visit?
You can drive right up to the base and park.
Yeah, I was surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, you can go right up to it. The thing is if you're going to do any climbing, you have to get a permit. And that was one of the things that was a little shocking to me is I'm looking up the side and this was on Easter It was the day before Easter, Easter Saturday.
That's and Priester.
Priester.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of a shocking thing to look up, and it looks like a little bug on the side of the hill. And then you realize that's a human trying to climb up. And there's like ladders that are like, you know, attached to the some of the crevices and stuff. And it's very interesting. But yeah, you can they will outlaw it because it is causing its own form of erosion. So,
yeah,
right.
Do it while
and
you
certainly
can.
Certainly during I think it's the month of June, they ask that people don't climb the tower because that is a sacred time for the local indigenous people to come and pray and to spend time there. So that's the only time where it's really off limits. But the rest of the time, you'll find a lot of people who are hiking around there and certainly climbing. There have been a number of injuries and deaths over the years too. But we'll get to that shortly. But it's really interesting, the top of the tower, because you would think there's nothing there. But apparently it's about the size of a football field. And climbers have reported that they've seen birds, but even mammals there too. So chipmunks and probably one day, they'll carve a Starbucks into the side of the place. But rats and snakes. So there's a lot of wildlife up there.
It looks like it's not perfectly flat, but it looks like you could – it'd be a very safe place to hang out as long as you stayed away from the edge. So,
yeah.
Yeah, pretty scary. But it looks from a distance like it's brown or gray, but it's actually more of a green when you approach it.
Yeah. I guess if it gets enough rain. I just came back from California, and there'd been drought every time I've been there. And this time I went, and it had been raining, and it was like a different place. Everything was so lush and green. So it's amazing what a little rain can do.
Yeah, this is just even the color of the rock itself. I mean, there is, you know, moss and lichen and things like that on it, but the stone itself has a green tint to it. So it's unique, to say the very least. And, you know, I don't know if I should talk about this now, but there's a lot of theories that people put forth about the formation of Devil's Tower.
Now's a good time.
Well, they push the idea that the scientific community can't agree and actually don't know how it was formed. And this has created this big opening for those farther out theories. You've got the standard one. It's the stump of an ancient tree. And I mean, the interesting thing is very one lone tree, because why aren't there more of these stumps around, or more evidence of a forest of this size? But they try to sort of compare petrified wood that's kind of cracking apart with these columnar sutures that are on the side of Devil's Tower. Mm. And the thing is the petrified wood kind of breaks into these cube-like pieces. And Devil's Tower columns are six-sided. And also, there's no rings. So if you're up on top of it and you look down, you should see rings.
If it were a tree,
There are none. But then there's another great theory that this is a petrified body part from a giant.
Oh.
I guess one foot sunk down in the mud. And then the other one, while he was trying to pull his foot out, the other one broke off at the ankle, as body parts do.
It happens,
Then the giant fell, and he bled to create the red soil that's in the area. It's so obvious, you know, but why not? I mean, if science doesn't know, then why not one of these other theories?
You can go to YouTube to see some of these crackpot theories.
Oh, there are some great ones, yeah. And boy, are they earnest about it. It's
funny, I was doing some research, and Reuters had an article that suggested that the whole tree thing started as a satirical post, but it doesn't matter because there's nothing too dumb to be believed on the internet. Like, there's nothing too dumb that can't become a real sincere belief. And
sure.
I mean, we talked a little bit about the Tartarian mud flood and some of the other things that people will in flat earth and all these sort of things. But I think that it fits into this idea that of a land of giants and, you know, a magical, you know, mythical time. And it's like, it kind of bugs me because these sort of internet versions are so much weaker than the sort of deep mythic folklore from various peoples who've lived here a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, And it makes me sad to see them picked up. It's like there's no such thing as birds or any number of other sort of hoaxes slash jokes that somehow get picked up by conspiracy theorists and become sincere beliefs. And wow, we live in a strange world. Or I guess it's the same world as always, but people are just capable of believing almost anything.
Well, I've always loved the Seven Sisters story.
Yeah, that's the one I was alluding to. Yep.
I loved that one. You know, then they get flown up into the sky and become the Pleiades. And it's a beautiful story. I've always loved it. But when I hear these stories about the trees and the giants, I don't love them. They don't.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, kind of capture me like the folklore does. I absolutely love those old stories and the cautionary tale aspect to them and everything else. And you know, believe and pray in this great medicine, this greater power, and you can be saved. And there's all kinds of great lessons for that period of community. And you know, things are a little different for us these days, but back then that kept a lot of people alive by keeping that community strong and everything. But you know, that's one of the things that they say. In fact, we were watching a documentary where the guy talks about that scientists now believe they've discovered what it is. And then after it's over, he's like, I kind of doubt it though. And it's like, what? Believe the tree thing over this? This is not a good documentary. But the thing is scientists don't disagree on how it was formed. They only disagree on maybe some small details.
Yeah, exactly.
They know for a fact that it's an igneous rock. It's called phonolite porphyry, and it formed from magma.
Done.
What's that?
She said, well done. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. See, what I had to do is I had to actually have my computer speak it for me so I could pronounce it right. Because I'm not a geographer, so I just had to kind of use the internet to help me there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Each week on Chinwag, we dig into the weird topics you wonder about, that you care about, the stuff none of us are totally sure of, like the Bermuda Triangle, Mothman, consciousness, philosophy, UFOs, ghosts, or say, Bigfoot.
So who's to say that there's not alien species that are Sasquatch?
Like I've seen a ghost, and I would hear something walking and breathing.
Maybe every path is right. I will accept as a premise that every path is right.
That is a face on Mars. Eyes, nose. It kind of looked like Wilson the volleyball.
Some people enjoy the waves or whatever crashing, and I enjoy listening to a quantum physics audiobook.
I do think there are many things in the world that we just don't understand and probably won't understand.
That's our whole show.
So join us every Wednesday on all major podcast platforms and find us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at ChinwagPod and Wagon.
I'd like to note too that there are similar formations that are found around the world. I mean, it is unique, but there that kind of rock is found in other places. There's a place called Devil's Post Pile that's in California. So Devil seems to be popular with these kinds of formations. And places in other countries too, Fingal's Cave in Scotland and basalt prisms in Mexico and basalt columns in Iceland. But it's not made of basalt, is it?
No.
Devil's Tower.
Right. It's not. And that's one of the interesting things. It seems like the devil uses different architects in different places. Basically what happened is the common agreed upon thing is that it was formed from magma around 50 million years ago. And then it came up one way or another. And then erosion over millions of years did the rest. Now, the whole thing with the columns, the way they are, that happened because of the way it cooled. And that's where the big theories come in, is what were the right conditions, you know, to exist for it to be able to cool like this. So we have several theories put forward. But, you know, you got seas advancing and retreating, washing away all the sedimentary layers around it. And the tower was exposed probably about between 5 and 10 million years ago. And there's really no recent argument. Now, it's interesting because I went in, and because I'm still one of those weirdos that likes AI, and I went in and I asked Microsoft's AI, which is called Copilot, I asked it to make a picture of Devil's Tower with a UFO and Bigfoot hiding from around a tree. And this is what it came back and said. It said, picture this surreal tableau, the ancient rock, the extraterrestrial craft, the legendary creature all converging at Devil's Tower, which I thought was a weird sentence. But then it says, remember, the giant tree theory is debunked. The real Devil's Tower remains an awe-inspiring sight waiting for curious souls to explore its wonders in person. So I know now that the giant tree theory is debunked because AI told me so.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Very cool to get.
Well, it is just reminded. So it is interesting. This magma intrusion. It comes up through a big pile of sedimentary rock, mm-hmm. or sedimentary rock. I don't know. The rock that's laid down like sandstone, you know, or limestone. It's just so it's unusual. You could tell it's not part of the rest of the rock. It's pushed through, you know, through mm-hmm. pressure. And so
right. We've
seen these sort of eroded volcanoes in other places, and I'm not sure if it's right to call it a volcano, but it's volcanic in nature in the how it got there, I guess, or
right.
those forces.
But it's
not a volcano.
Right.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about it, you said it broke into hex shape, six-sided sort of pieces, and that reminds me of the other, what is it called? The Giant's Walkway or Causeway, Giant's Causeway in Ireland. Which is just a crazy cool looking place. Also, same thing, you know, volcanic rock cooling and sort of forming these. I don't know if it's right to call them crystalline structures because I am also not a
geographer for sure.
But you're close.
Yeah.
But we should talk about just how, just to mention the height of the place. It's really impressive when you're at
millions of feet high. It's terrifying.
And it stands at 867 feet, so 264 meters from summit to base. And it's just really a thing to see. Blake, I know it's on your bucket list too.
It is, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Visit. But so, yeah, we did this visit. And, yeah, Matt, do you want to talk a little bit about just all these kind of tangential stories, UFO claims and sightings and Bigfoot? Is Bigfoot around there?
Well, there are a few reports here and there. They're very isolated. You know, there's stories because of the fact that several people have perished during climbing the mountain, that it is obviously haunted. Mm-hmm. And there's been a Bigfoot sighting or two there as well, UFO sightings. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, well, it's not interesting because we already kind of know because of Spielberg. There were more UFO sightings after the movie came out than before it.
Literally one of the questions
surprise,
I was going to ask.
Yeah,
I figured it would be true, but it's, you know, it's always good to check.
Absolutely. I mean, that movie had a huge impact on you know, the whole UFO community. And when you watch the movie with fresh eyes these days, you can absolutely see how they evolved into E.T.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You can,
from that point.
You can really see it. But anyway. So there are, you know, a few reports. It's nothing, you know, there's no good like folklore about these particular things. And, it's kind of a rare happening for there to be these paranormal things, or yet everybody thinks paranormal when they see it. But it's, you know, the Grand Canyon, the first thing you think isn't haunting. Mount Everest, it's not the first thing you think, even though plenty of people have died on it. You don't think, oh, it's haunted. Now, you do think Yeti, but that's a different story.
Yeah, abominable snowman. Well, and I think, too, that a lot of the stories are just based simply around the spooky name, Devil's Tower. It sounds creepy and spooky and just all the history associated with the site as well. I think that leads people to think it's haunted. And if you just Google it, you'll mm-hmm. find lots of people on forums talking about their experiences there where they felt scared or they felt someone something tugging on their clothing, or they heard their name being called. So you'll get all these kinds of stories that you hear associated with other historical places as well. But I really think there's something about the name that lends itself to hauntings.
What do they call it? What, Richard Wiseman called it priming, I guess. Yeah.
Like priming. Yes. Yeah. Yes. But a lot of great natural attractions aren't necessarily tied to paranormal thoughts just because they already inspire so much wonder.
Yeah.
But one of the supposed meanings of Devil's Tower was that's where the devil lives. He lives in that tower. And I knocked.
What's his hat?
No
or
one answered.
Well, he did before the pandemic, but with real estate being what it is, you know. So.
That's why it is abandoned.
It's largely empty. They have to look for occupants. It's.
But there's also a structure, an actual, you know, man-made tower called Devil's Tower that I think is a bit further out east. That gets confused. And there's a movie called Devil's Tower that. You know, Jay from Silent Bob and Jay stars in, and the tagline is, it's a hell of a place to live. So I won't recommend those.
Yeah.
But well, yeah, there's another Devil's Tower too. I think in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
It's a historical marker, and a human made tower, but not,
that's the one.
Not a natural. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's you look for Devil's Tower on YouTube and you will find a lot of videos on that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place to visit. I'm really glad that I got to go there, and certainly fulfilling a dream for Matt. And Blade was fascinated by the place too, and we all went hiking around the base of it. It was a very frigid day, very cold and snowing lightly.
Oh, wow.
So everything just looked beautiful. It's absolutely worth visiting, and just a lot of stories associated with it.
Do you have any photos for the show notes?
A lot of photos.
That'd be great. Cool. Did you try to hide behind a rock and pretend you were, you know, hiding from the government agents and stuff? Did you do any LARPing while you were there?
No LARPing. I was looking for LARPers.
Yeah.
Didn't locate any.
I didn't know the people mark shooting locations. I mean, it's big. So it would be trying to find exactly where things happen would be hard.
No, you can recognize it. There's different shelves and places where the columns have broken off, and they call one the window. There's a crack in the window kind of thing. And and that's where a lot of it took place in terms of the filming. You can see the window in many of the shots. So it's actually pretty easy to spot. You know, one side of it is not uniform. It's got a curve to it. Once you're there and you go around it, you can spot what you're looking at fairly easily.
I want to add that there are signs everywhere, and they ask you to not deviate from the path, because there are prayer rugs and lots of just indigenous markers around there. So, they don't really want you to go hiding behind rocks. They want you to just stick to the path.
And just so there's no confusion, the path is not capitalized. So they're not telling you to be religious.
Ah, gotcha.
And, oh, yeah. So follow the left-hand path.
Follow the one true path. I would be so tempted to get my whole family to wear those white jumpsuits like the military wear in there with the glasses, sunglasses and everything.
I would be so tempted to have a photo of that.
That would be so awesome. So, but
in the gift shop, we did see an alien, didn't we?
Yes, I can send a photo of that as well.
Oh, good. They have a gift shop. That implies they probably have plumbing out there, so you don't have to poop in the woods. So,
but the outhouses
it's
are still
close
very primitive.
To it.
Yeah,
they're primitive.
Yep, just holes in the ground kind of thing, but toilet paper.
Yes.
the devil's toilet. Yes, exactly.
Yes,
you will levitate. You know, it's funny because I posted a couple of the photos on Instagram, and of course I had a ton of people coming back talking about mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and bringing out various lines about, you know, why it's better to go see Pinocchio than mini golf. And it's just really interesting how sort of ingrained into our culture this movie has become, and even after all this time, there's tons of people that have not seen the movie, but they seem to still know the quotes.
That's funny.
Yes, yeah.
And it was the star of the movie. Devil's Tower was the star of that movie. And it's strange because it really hasn't, it's been typecast and it hasn't really had much of a career in film since then, but
good point.
Yeah. But, no, it's the feeling it gives you there, if you were already sort of a religious minded person, you would feel the spiritualness of it. I mean, you would really feel it because it does just inspire so much wonder to be there.
It feels like a liminal space. It feels like, you know, one of those places where there's something so astonishing it makes you feel disconnected from the everyday. So
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, well, there must be some ley line. Just... I think it's on ley lines. It's gotta be. But
lots of energy there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you drive away from it and you see it the last time in your rearview mirror, there's a little hint of sadness.
Yeah, I'm jealous that you got to go. That's awesome though. I hope I get to lug my family out there one day and see it too. That'd be really cool.
And, and I think that's another thing too, with Matt talking about Facebook. I think just about everyone came back and said, I want to get there someday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it really is on the bucket list of many people.
Indeed. Well, I'm one of them. So, I hope that if anybody in our listenership decides to go out and take a look, they'll remember that a lot of these stories are legends, but the geology is fascinating and there's absolutely nothing wrong with, you know, being feeling that connection to a place. These are magical places, even if magic is, you know, just in your head. So it's, absolutely. And if it's a sacred place to you, it's a sacred place to you. I no problem with that. It's just an astonishing bit of geology though. And it's just breathtaking to look at it from even in a photo. So I do really want to do that myself. And so I thank you guys for that visit and bringing back your stories. It's wonderful.
The main thing that I brought back is just, you know, it is so widespread that the scientists all disagree on how it was formed, and just to really put a kibosh on that, because they know that it's, you know, igneous rock from the magma. They know that it's there. There's no question. So, you know, those columns aren't tendons from a giant's leg. Mm-hmm. You know, none of that is remotely true, and even AI will tell you mm-hmm. so.
Blue dress, gold dress. I think we can all agree it's a dress, right? You know, so the disagreements are in the details, not in the big picture. So
yes,
yeah. Well, I think really it adds to the mystery, you know. And we get that a lot with a lot of these stories. People just saying, "Oh, scientists are baffled." And,
well, if the tree not, if but... the tree hypothesis were true, the scientists are stumped.
Yeah.
Oh, smooth, nice.
But thanks for helping us get to the root of all this.
Stop.
All right.
All right. Went on out of limb on that one.
Yeah, it's a little bit. But all right, well, we'll log that entry and move on to next week. It's like
Monster Talk.
You've been listening to Monster Talk, the science show about monsters. I'm Blake Smith.
And I'm Karen Stolzner.
You just heard Blake and Karen and Matt discussing Devil's Tower in Wyoming. Thanks for listening. I'm sorry for the brevity here. I'm not feeling well, but I'm hoping to be better by next week. Monster Talk's theme music is by Pete Stealing Monkeys. Thank you for listening.
Been a Monster House presentation.